Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
Oh, good morning on this beautiful sunny day in Colorado. A little warm. You know, we're going to have a stretch of 90s for as far out as I can see on my weather app. So it's going to be warm, but that's going to affect the fishing in probably a very positive way. Fishing is really turning on, and we are going to talk a lot about that. In fact, we're going to have several reports during today's show on different aspects of what's going on fishing in the state. And speaking of fishing reports, I put a couple things up on Facebook this week when both myself and Karen and myself were out doing some fishing and exploring. And when I do that, I will always try to tell you the techniques we're using, the kind of place we're fishing. If it's a big body of water, we'll tell you exactly where we were fishing. Sometimes if it's a small pond, we just refer to small ponds because there's so many of them that are the same. It doesn't make sense for you to drive to one when there's some that are probably right in your backyard. But we don't just put up pictures of fish. We give you information at the same time, at least the baits we're using and the types of presentations. We're also going to talk some getting ready for hunting today because it's just, even though it's still early summer, it's going to be on as quick, and you need to start thinking about your gear and your scouting already. So we're going to talk about that. And Ben Garcia, our dog training expert, is going to join us in the second hour. And one of the tips he's going to have for us is if the fireworks noise bothers your dog, some tips you can do to help with that. So we got a lot to get to. Let's go right to the phones. And joining us, he hasn't been on for a while. He's been busy fishing. Brad Peterson from Brad Peterson Outdoors. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Terry.
Well, speaking of just being out fishing, you also were doing a tournament up at one of our favorite lakes, Glendoe, and you actually placed quite high and did well. And that's a great place to start because that's a pretty good walleye lake, one of the better ones, I would say, in this part of the country, don't you think?
Yeah, Glendoe it's a phenomenal fishery. You know, it has lots of numbers of fish, but it also has one of the strongest populations of quality fish. You know, fish from that 24 up to 30-inch range that people are going to catch, you know, have a reasonable chance to catch multiple fish that size in a given day. And that's pretty rare this time of year, you know, through most of our lakes. You'll find spots that you're going to catch one occasionally. But up there, you know, it's not uncommon to get into, you know, three or four of those quality fish this time of year. And that's really what it took for the tournament to have good results.
Well, I can tell you one of the best days fishing I've ever had on Glendoe was we filmed a television show up there. By the way, you can see there's two television shows, Glendoe Fishing, on my YouTube channel, The Best of Fishing with Terry Wickstrom. But we were trolling crankbaits. It was Memorial Weekend. We were trolling crankbaits just off of the edge because the water had come down. It wasn't as high as normal. And it was virtually ridiculous. I mean, the amount of fish and size was just tremendous. But tell us about your experience and what's going on up there now.
Well, you know, Terry, that bite is happening right now. If you want to go up and catch numbers of fish, the deep weed edge has fish, or the deep weeds have fish right above them. So if you're wanting to pull, you know, crankbaits over top, and it's a little bit of a refined pattern in that those weeds do have a lot of moss on them, so you have to make sure that you're staying above them. So it takes a little bit just to get dialed into the right depth, but once you do, there's big expansive flats that you can troll over top of and catch lots of fish in that, you know, 16 to 18 inch range, with the chance of a fish maybe up to 22 or so. But the bigger fish seem to be, you know, up shallow in the weeds or the flooded brush. And I'm going to say shallow being 5 foot or less. Now, it's kind of different than a lot of people throughout the country think about walleye fishing. You know, this is almost more of a bass fishing type for walleye in that you're going to have to be using a little bit heavier line, a little bit bigger presentation, bigger lures, because you're targeting those larger fish. You're not going to get nearly the number of bites if you're out trolling, but the quality of fish is good. You know, on Sunday we stayed in one area that's you know, maybe the size of about four pickup trucks put together. And we fish that all day long to put up over 25 pounds of fish. But it was because the fish in those shallows are kind of moving along. So we were able to just kind of stay there. And you'd have little lulls, but then, you know, next thing you know, you'd pop a 23 or a 24-inch fish and a 20-inch fish. And so it was just having confidence in a specific area to go chase those fish. Now, as the lake, it was dropping. It's kind of stabilized. It's going to stay that way for a couple weeks until the demand for irrigation starts going, and then the lake's going to start dropping again. And as that lake starts dropping, those fish are going to pull out of the shallows. So you're going to look for structure either or cover, whether that's, you know, rock piles or long points going towards the main lake or that flooded vegetation. And that's where those fish are going to be moving to. So there's potential for some great fishing going on up there, you know, for the rest of the summer and into the fall. That's one of the nice things about Glendale is it has a bite that starts, you know, in May and runs through October that is fairly consistent.
Well, and I find, too, that as we get close to around the 4th of July, the shad, there's a lot of shad in that lake, and they're going to hatch. And then you're even going to start some of your most productive fishing. A lot of people used to quit fishing Glendale as we got into the later half of summer and the water was warm because they wanted to go jig those points or pull a bottom bouncer on those points you were talking about or those rock piles. And now we were catching them on the 4th of July, suspended over 50, 60 feet of water, but maybe only 5 feet deep.
Yeah, that as it warms up, you have two presentations that really start to shine, and that's trolling crankbaits a little bit faster. You're going to cover more water, have a better chance at locating those active fish. And then the other one is, you know, the jig and spoon, jig and wrap bite. As the water starts warming, you know, some of those shad start to die. The shad are fairly temperature sensitive, and so they do it both when it's cold, also when it's warm. So you can find some fish on deep structure, but you need to use those reaction type presentations to get the bites, because just dragging a slow piece of worm around, you know, they have so many shad in the lake to choose from, you're not going to tempt them as much. But man, if something comes zipping past them quick, sometimes they just react to that without even thinking. And that usually is the best, starting about mid-July through September. You know, those are the kind of patterns that are going to hold out and catch a lot of fish.
Now, let's get back. Before we get to a few other lakes around here, let's go back to the next couple weeks. Those big fish are probably going to be shallow. What kind of presentations were you throwing at them?
You know, we were throwing jigs and either twisters or paddle tails. And just a slow, steady retrieve seemed to work the best. The key is being able to have the right weight jig to where you can move it through the cover without getting hung up. And in certain spots, you know, that was dropping down to an eighth. A lot of times it was 3/16. I was using one of the new VMC hybrid swim bait heads, which has the eye of the hook moved to about a 60-degree angle. And the nice thing I like about that is when you're going through the weeds, it kind of climbs up and over and doesn't catch like a 90-degree angle jig head. And that seemed to work really good for us. And then some sort of a swim bait or a twister, whether it's, you know, like a bio bait product or, you know, a lot of other companies make it. But it seemed like having some sort of added little scent or maybe a little action that was different than what everyone else was throwing was helping you pick up a few bites like that.
All right, let's quickly
move
that, to...
That type pattern will carry out throughout, you know, all of our lakes in Colorado, Sterling, Jackson, Jumbo, Boyd, all those lakes have this shallow water, you know, casting pattern happening right now, and that's going to continue on until the water gets too warm. So we've got about 2 weeks of that will continue on to Colorado as well.
So what are you hearing about? You mentioned some of the lakes you mentioned. I know you were out on Boyd this week. What's going on there?
Boy, Boyd is on fire right now. We caught fish trolling crankbaits, pulling live bait, you know, like bottom mounters and spinners or stuff like that. And then we also caught them pitching jigs, and we caught walleye, largemouth and smallmouth, all jigging, you know, keeping your boat in that 5 to 8 foot depth. And most of the fish were caught pitching towards shore, but some of the smallmouth we actually caught pitching out from there. There's the weed development's really starting. The bite's really going good. Water temp was, you know, that mid to upper 60 range. And so that bite's going to continue, I would say, for all about 2 weeks until either the weeds develop too much or we get those water temperatures too hot and starts pushing those fish down. Sterling's kind of got the same thing going. The weeds are finally developing up there, and fish are moving up in that area, up in the shallows. And Jackson, with the warm temperatures, the wipers are really starting to get active. And the best way I find to find those wipers is to troll to locate the active schools and always have a rod ready to cast for a surface, you know, a boil that might happen, because that can happen any time of the year. And I'm sure, you know, anyone who's been a part of getting on some boiling, either white bass or wipers, you don't want to miss that. That's some of the best action of the year.
Oh, you're absolutely right. What type of lures are you pulling, and what depths at Jackson to locate those wipers?
You know, I'm using stuff that is typically in that size 6 to size 7 crankbait range. So it's kind of the traditional size range. And then it's a mixture of stuff that has rattles or not. But one of the things I've really found is those fish on a typical morning will go through about 3 to 4 different style crankbaits. And by that, I mean, you know, it may be more of a minnow style bait that catches fish. Maybe you need to be running that on lead or behind a bottom bouncer for an hour. And then all of a sudden that bite will turn off. And then you may need to try to switch to something more like a shad wrap. And they'll want that quiet shad shape. And then they may want a jointed crankbait that has rattles in it for a little bit. So once you catch 2 fish on a lure, I typically change at least, I'm running normally 4 rods, and I'll change 2, if not 3 rods to that similar shape and color lure, and leaving 1 to experiment. But as soon as I've gone, you know, 15 minutes without a bite, I start switching through stuff to figure out what's the hot lure to get them to trigger, because it can change up. But I will tell you, so far, gold and kind of a metallic-y green color have been the most consistent. Usually at some point in the day, both of those colors will catch fish for a while. So those are the 2 that I almost always have tied on to start.
When you're running the shad-shaped baits, and we're going to be out of time here in just a few seconds, but when you're running the shad-shaped baits, are you running those on planer boards, on any kind of weighted line, or are you just free spooling behind the boat?
You know, I'll do all of the above, and all of them can get it done. If I've been running minnow baits, I'll run them on the lead core that I have. As you're searching, you know, planer boards are a great tool to spread out your presentation. So that's a great opportunity. But if all you've got is straight mono or a straight braid, those baits are big enough that they'll get down to the bottom, and you can cover the whole water column, because those fish will be spread out from the bottom to just a foot or two underneath. So it's really an opportunity for anglers with any type of equipment to get out there and catch fish right now.
All right, Brad, thanks for all the info. We are out of time. If people want to book a trip with you, how do they find you?
Well, they can reach me on Facebook at Brad Peterson Outdoors, or give me a call at 303-829-3998. And I wanted to let everyone know that I did just get a permit to guide on Glendale. So if they're wanting to head up to Wyoming and chase some of those good walleyes, now would be the perfect time to call and start scheduling stuff.
All right, my friend, we'll get you back on soon. You and I got to get on the water soon, too. Thanks, Brad.
You're welcome.
Brad Peterson, you can find him at Brad Peterson Outdoors. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to change up and talk about getting ready for hunting. No, it is not too early to start thinking about it. All that and more coming up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.